I have titled the message today, Trusting God in Difficult Times. Every one of us have times in our lives when we have to say, I trust God, even though it's a difficult time. Let us just bow our heads and acknowledge the presence of His Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You that without Your revelation, the Word of God does not take root in our hearts. But I pray that You will reveal Your presence and Your Holy Spirit through the words that I speak. Anoint me, O God, to speak the words that You want me to say. We give You all the glory. It is not us, but it's You. You deserve the glory and the honor, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Trusting God in difficult times. There is an enemy, a supernatural enemy. His schemes and tricks are to defeat every Christian. We see so many people today who have once walked with God, but they have become defeated and discouraged. That enemy, of course, you know, is Satan. The Bible tells us how he operates. He finds us at our weak point, and that's where he attacks. He said in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Let us be watching for the attacks that Satan may bring against us. And Peter said, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking to tear down. Lions roar, I've told you before, to establish their identity. They want you to know, but they don't roar when they're going to attack. Satan comes in very subtly, like a lion. They creep silently through the grass and lie patiently for hours. So that's what a lion does, and Satan does the same thing. But we know that we cannot be surprised by his attack because we have to be prepared. Believers should not think that because Satan is not roaring and drawing attention to himself, that he is not there. He has roared throughout history. He's made himself known. He has attacked people. The question is when and how he will strike next. It's not a warning to fear, but it is an invitation to be watchful and prepared. We know Satan will attack in secret and scheming ways, and so we need to be prepared. The armor God has provided for the Christian allows the Christian to be confident, prepared, and safe. Satan manifests his hatred toward God through his schemes to destroy God's people, but in Ephesians, Paul tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor for God, not just part of it, the whole armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That means the tricks and the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think that somebody is what we're wrestling against, and we try to use the same tools that Satan uses, but it's not flesh we're wrestling against, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what we're wrestling against. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Don't ever give up. Keep standing. It is important that we recognize Satan's schemes so that he cannot destroy, wreck, mutilate, waste, and ruin our lives, which God loves. God loves us. He does not want us to be destroyed by Satan's schemes. We as Christians are called to use the weapons of warfare that God has given us. Paul continues to write in Ephesians 6th chapter about these weapons. He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The buckle of truth. The truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. These are the weapons. They bring all of the completeness of God's strength in our lives. In addition to all this, Paul said, Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I have said before, and I still believe, that shield of faith we give to our children when they're very young. They believe the word of God, and that is what will extinguish the flaming arrows of doubt and fear and disbelief in their lives. And he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And pray in the Spirit. Some people say, well, that's not important. It says, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray in the Spirit. We don't always know what we have need of. When we pray in the Spirit will pray through us that which we have need of and that which the person for whom we are praying has need of. Satan uses various tricks to outwit people, but his strategies or his schemes, his secret devious plans have been revealed to those who have put on the armor of God. One thing that Satan does, he twists the word of God. In Genesis, the second chapter, remember how that the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any fruit tree in the garden, but must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat it, you will die. He said, every other tree you could eat from. They could even eat of the tree of life and keep living, but not of this tree that was knowledge of good and evil. Some people think they want to know about evil. We don't need to know about evil. God doesn't want us to. Now, the serpent says that he was craftier than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? There we go. That's how Satan comes. Is that really what the Bible says? We have so many young people today who are confused. They say, yeah, but is that really what God is saying? You must not eat from any tree in the garden. Is that what God said? You will not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan has deceived, and he is deceiving people to say, today, in the Bible, he says, that's not what God really means. That's not what he's saying. He really, if you just will take part, or you'll see that you will be enlightened, and you'll see a new way of living. But the Psalm, the 119th chapter, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is faithful and true. Satan comes and it disguises himself. Not everything that appears to be light is light. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. There are some that are saying, well, I'm on, you know, churches that embrace things that are against the word of God. But he says, and no one, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve, Paul says. And in 1 John, the first chapter, John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. But we have to walk in that light. Satan imitates things that are of God, but he imitates. We see there in Acts, there was a man named Simon. He had practiced sorcery and deceiving people, and he amazed the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. When somebody, we find many times that people are going here and there because there's a miracle. Something's happening there. We got to go see this amazing miracle. This man is rightly called the great power of God, they said. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with sorcery. Just because there's something miraculous happening doesn't mean it's of God. Now, I'm not saying that means that healing is not of God. It absolutely is. But we have to give God the glory and God the praise. And it has to agree with the word of God. In Revelation, the beast performed great signs, it said, in the last time. There will be great miracles, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of people. If they believe that a miracle, here's a miracle, because of the signs it was given power to perform it, deceive the inhabitants of the earth. We can't look for just miraculous happenings. There are demonic things that happen. We have to reject them if they're not according to the word of God. If we're looking for signs, we are likely to be deceived. Satan counterfeits. He does something false so as to make it look genuine. Satan can make lies look like truth and unbelievers look like believers. In Matthew, there was a parable that Jesus put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. So there are those that pretend that are not genuine. And we aren't trying to pick people apart and say, oh, I bet he's not genuine or she's not genuine. We leave that up to God. But we don't follow. We follow what the Word of God says. Because when the grain has sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And the servants of the owner came and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said, don't worry about it. The enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no, lest that while you're gathering them, you destroy the good crop. Just leave it alone, and in the end, we'll burn the tares. And so, in Acts, the fourth chapter, after Peter and John were imprisoned for healing a crippled man and preaching Jesus, they were released and were threatened to not preach Jesus anymore. Remember how that they healed the crippled man. And so then when they were locked up, then they decided, let them go. And they said, but don't preach Jesus anymore. Did that make them cower down and say, well, you know, we were in prison, we better listen. I'm not saying we go around trying to break the law, but instead Peter prayed. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. God, he says, you know about it, and grant under your servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. How? By the name of this holy child, Jesus, whom we preach. They did not pray for safety. They did not pray for something else, that they would be protected. They prayed that God would give them boldness. We need boldness in the world today. Just like Ramona was telling a couple of weeks ago about how that she felt that she needed to go and pray for this woman who had almost was having difficulty walking. And she thought, well, I don't want to. I think sometimes we think, I don't want to, you know, interfere into somebody's business. And I tend to do that a little myself. I say, well, you know, I don't like to butt in on somebody's business. But anyway, Ramona said the Holy Spirit told her, go ahead. He impressed on her. And she went ahead and said, would you like me to pray for you? And then the woman revealed how she had been injured, and she was so receptive. We pray for boldness that God will help us minister to the needs. We have a hurting world out there, people who need Jesus. God, give us boldness to stand firm against threats and opposition. In Proverbs, the third chapter, I think this was Pastor Richie's favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Satan steals, kills, and destroys. And he can steal the word of God from the heart of someone who hears it by asking, has God really said that? And is that what God really means? That's what his intent is, to steal that word from them. We know that in Genesis, the serpent was cunning, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? You see, he just moved it a little bit. God didn't say they couldn't eat of every tree. He said, you could eat of the tree, but except this tree, you cannot eat. And so that's the way Satan does to us. He deceives us into saying, well, God didn't say this, or she said that. Jesus said in Matthew, the 13th chapter, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches it away that was what was sown in his heart. That's what Satan wants. He wants to destroy the word of God among people of God by filling the heart of some who are not fully committed to God. That's why we want the children, when they're little, to receive the word of God. We know that in Luke, Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Yet Satan entered into his heart. He was there with Jesus. You say, this person's been so closely related to the church or with people that are righteous. And yet, what caused this? Well, Judas was one of those. He was right there with Jesus. He was immersed in all of the teachings, and yet Satan came and plucked him. And Peter said in Acts, the 5th chapter, he said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Another one who had been submitted and surrounded by Holy Spirit gospel preaching, and yet he held back part of the price of the land. It wasn't that he had to give it all. It was that he gave it all and said he didn't give it all and said he did. It was that he lied. The Holy Spirit knows what's inside our hearts. Numbers, the 23rd chapter, it tells us God is not a man that he should lie. God does not lie. What he says is truth. And there's no taking part of it away and leaving some. He, or a son of man, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Absolutely, he fulfills exactly what he says. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, it says also, "The glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind." God will not lie. He will not change his mind, not for you or for me. Today we have many churches that think God has changed his mind about some sin, that some things are okay. And after all, we can change our gender. God understands. God does understand that he gave his life to redeem us. He does not embrace sin. Satan afflicts and depresses and oppresses. Before Jesus came, demons were rampant, filling and affecting people physically, spiritually, and mentally. Satan is still trying to destroy people in the same way today, but he is a liar. How many people we have today that are on some kind of narcotics to keep them steady and stable? I'm not saying you can't take something that you need, but Jesus said that he gives us the strength and he gives us the confidence and he is our healer. In Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus asked those who were more concerned about the law than they were about deliverance from bondage for a woman. When Jesus brought deliverance, they were more concerned about the fact that he did it on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham?" What is Jesus concerned? He's concerned about deliverance for you and for me, not a law. The law was made under the law. It was made that, but the Sabbath was made not for man. I mean, it was, anyway. And so, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," think of it, "for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Is there some reason? What greater thing could happen on the Sabbath, the day that we celebrate deliverance? And they brought, and then in Matthew, the 8th chapter, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. In James, the 4th chapter, he gives us instruction. This is James, the brother of Jesus. He said, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Many people have used the excuse, "Well, I didn't have a choice. The devil made me do it." You can resist the devil. God will give you that power if you want to. God wants us to live above the circumstances rather than under the circumstances. Oh, that we would take our eyes off the circumstances and look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Whose report should we believe? The doctors or the Lord's? The Word of God? Who should we believe? I believe the Lord's report. Doctor said, And Grace gave you Ramona gave you a little testimony. Doctor said the baby was going to die when she went in. And they didn't tell that to her. They just said, there's not anything we can do. Just go home and maybe it'll be okay. And the nurse said, he just said that to keep you from grieving. We knew that you were going to lose the baby. The amniotic fluid was not there. The holes in the heart and the kidneys were not developed right. All of that, you said. But she went home believing that God was her healer. And so the next appointment showed amniotic fluid was sufficient. The next report, this practitioner, she says, I cannot believe that I'm seeing you here today. I thought you would have lost that baby. We sent you home knowing that baby was going to die. But you see, God has a different report. He says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Satan likes to accuse and slander people, make them feel like that there's something wrong with them. But he went to, remember how Satan went to God and he accused Job. He said, oh, if you would just take your hand off of him and let me get to him, I can discourage him and he will no longer serve you. Sometimes, maybe God, you know what God said? He says, there's not a man like Job. He is a man that's perfect in my sight. Maybe sometimes when we go through some difficult times, God is showing the devil, they are perfect in my sight. I will give them strength to overcome. You cannot take them down. And he did not take Job down. Job stood faithful, although he lost, it seemed like, everything. Job, the Lord said to Satan, he said, where have you come from? Anyway, he said, I'll go, just consider my servant Job. And the Satan says that's the reason that because you protect him. God is for us, and he's protecting us. If God is for us, who can stand against us? God and one person is a majority against Satan. Satan accuses us of being unworthy of the grace of God. Many people say, I'm not worthy. Unworthy am I of God's grace? Yes, I'm unworthy, but God made me worthy. Jesus Christ steps in to plead the efficacy of his own blood in our defense. It may be true that we have sinned, but it's not true that we are unworthy of God's grace and forgiveness. We are worthy because, only because, Jesus paid the price for us to be worthy. He made us worthy. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, anyone you forgive, he said, I also forgive. We have a lot of people today who have great difficulty with forgiving others. And they let Satan strip them of their righteous dignity and their walk with God because they won't forgive. And Paul said, anybody that you forgive, you don't have to explain it, I forgive them. If there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. And so, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are unaware of his schemes, Satan can defeat more people by bitterness and unforgiveness, I think, perhaps, than any sin I know. When we hold bitterness in our hearts, Satan has a stronghold in our lives. But John says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The God of this age has blinded the minds of believers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You can go out on the street and begin to witness to people, and how many people are blinded? They do not know about God's glory. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit discerns them. Satan tries to hinder spiritual discernment, but only the Holy Spirit can open one's eyes to spiritual truth. Jesus said, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit, everything about our lives, if we are filled with his Spirit, will testify about Jesus. I'm not saying we're out there with a megaphone and we're screaming out and testifying. Our lives are the testimony. When Jesus explained to his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he had to be killed on the third day and be raised to life, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, because you see, Peter was thinking in the natural. "Never, Lord," he said, "this won't happen to you." But Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Get behind me." There are sometimes some things that we face in our lives that are for God's glory. I'm not saying we're going to suffer because of and go through an illness and pain. I don't believe that. But our warfare is against spiritual forces of evil. And the worldly weapons of aggression and violence are grossly inadequate. They will not defeat them. We can have bitterness and we can try to get back at somebody for what they've done. They deserve it. Yeah, they deserve it, but what do I deserve? Jesus, make us what you want us to be. The only weapons adequate to destroy the fortresses of Satan, unrighteousness, and false teachings are those given to us by God. We must put on the whole armor, be fully dressed and ready for spiritual warfare. Without the full armor of God, we cannot withstand in the evil day. These weapons are powerful because they are spiritual and they come from God. They're not carnal weapons. They are described as the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, commitment to truth. As Christians, we need to be committed to truth. When we tell somebody we're going to do something, we need to do it. I'm not saying you don't ever forget, but you've got a cell phone now, you make an alarm. Anyway, I am amazed at how many people tell me they're going to do something, and then the next thing I know, well, they have an excuse, they didn't do it. We need to be truth around our waist. We represent the Word of God and truth. Breastplate of righteousness, righteous living. It doesn't mean that when I'm in the church house, I'm righteous, and I go outside the doors of the building and I'm using profanity and everything else. It's righteous living all the time. That is the breastplate of righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. It protects and motivates our feet. It is the proclamation and representation of the gospel. Our feet, what we go to do. Where do we go? What do we do? Shield of faith, solid and unshakable belief and trust in God's word. That's what we must have from a child. Timothy, Paul said, your mother, grandmother have taught you the word of God. Helmet of salvation, protection of the mind by the blood of Jesus. My, how we need our minds protected. And it's an ornament to the believer. It is the ring of the prodigal set and of the proof of our inheritance. The mind, the proof of what Jesus has done. It is the gold tried in the fire. Today we wear salvation as a helmet against adversities. And in eternity, we will wear it as a shining crown of glory. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we cannot set it aside. The Word of God, it is our instruction. We cannot change it. It is a two-edged sword. It divides the soul from the spirit. The soul is the emotional part of us, that which goes by emotions. But the spirit is the spirit of God. We cannot let it be divided. I mean, you know, it takes away that carnal part. Praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what we need and knows how to pray when we may not know how. I cannot emphasize enough how desperately we need to take all these tools that Paul is telling, these weapons of warfare. And he says, stand firm then with all of this buckled around you and harnessed on you. And we did a study in our Bible study how important it is to have that around us, and to have the protection that we need, that our minds, our spirits, and our hearts are protected. I listen to sometimes young people coming to my yard and my backyard and talking and everything. And I think it's so interesting that it seems like today so many of the young people don't even know how to talk without profanity. Not just a little bit of profanity. It's filthy. And I think, what in the world? They're not even angry. It's just a matter of a sentence. And they use all these words. And because we do not have that righteousness, that belt of truth and that righteousness in our hearts and our lives. I know that I've talked a lot about Satan's destructive and schemes, his destructive nature, but we need to know that beyond all of this, God has a plan for our lives. He will bring us through if we will cling to the Word of God. We will stand faithful. If you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're watching this telecast, I pray that you will make that decision. No greater time in the world. Now is the day of salvation. We're facing some pretty scary times in our world today. We need Jesus more than we've ever needed him before. For sure, we need him in our lives. I pray that you will make the decision to let him be Lord of your life. Not just by mouth, not just by word, but let him have your life. As I pray, I ask you to make that commitment. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who perhaps have not yet committed their lives to you, or they've made a half-hearted commitment. I pray, O God, that they will totally commit their lives to you. Be the Lord of their lives. I pray that you will help us to set aside everything that is not of you, and to walk uprightly before you, not excusing anything, not taking away from the Word of God, not excusing things and say, well, God didn't really mean that. When God said it, it is true. God is not a man that he would lie. I thank you, Lord, for your Word. We give you praise and honor. I pray, oh God, that you will bless us this week, and those who accept you, that you will help them dig into the Word of God and make it the source of strength for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande. I trust that you will have a blessed and wonderful week with Jesus as your guide. Thank you. A little lower. Yeah. Okay. Don't forget those that are going to go to youth camp. I know Timmy and Nikki need to get those applications and get those filled out. We make sure and pick those up for them if they haven't, please. And I also remind you that we want the kids that are going to see Brenda to have some lunch if they don't. So if you have a little something you could put in Melissa's hand and they can get lunch and